As many of you know, I was away last week. 2 weeks ago today, my uncle Chuck, my mom's brother, passed away. He was out ice fishing and he had a massive heart attack and died. And so I flew home to Minneapolis, and then I and my parents and my sister and my brother, we traveled out to South Dakota for the funeral. And it was a very large funeral because my uncle was fairly young when he died. All his friends are still alive. He had many friends. So it was a packed church. And my dad, who's a pastor, preached a very powerful message presenting the gospel and pointing everyone to eternal life that we have beyond this life on earth. I've just been really reminded through all of that that we really are just passing through. This life is so temporary. And the most important thing we can do while on earth is to seek God and serve Him. Because someday we will also die and go to be with the Lord. This is a time for us to make every moment count. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you that you hold our lives in your hands and that you call us to be your faithful followers every step of the way. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd open our minds and our hearts to what that means, that you would shape and transform us to be the faithful people that you are calling us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my heroes is Patrick of Ireland. Not Patrick of Edison, but Patrick of Ireland, who lived in the 5th century A.D. And all right, thank you, slide man. All right, keep your eye on me. I'm just going to point at you, okay, when it's time, all right? When Patrick of Ireland was a teenager, around the age of 16, he was kidnapped from his home in England by Irish pirates. Can you imagine that? Taken to Ireland, he was then sold as a slave and forced to work as a shepherd. That's about the worst job I could imagine. Before his abduction, Patrick, like many teenagers, was not very interested in God. Even though he was from a godly Christian family and he attended Crew and J. Crew every Friday night. But as he faced severe hardship for the first time as a slave, he began to seek God, cry out to God, and he gave his life to Jesus. After 6 years of slavery, he felt God speak to him and tell him that he would soon be going home. And so Patrick looked for a chance. He escaped from his slave master. He traveled to the coast of Ireland. He argued his way onto a ship. And he traveled back to England. I'm sure that Patrick was filled with gratitude that God had not only delivered him from slavery, but reunited him with his family, his loved ones, his former life. I imagine that the last place on earth that Patrick ever wanted to see again in his life was Ireland. But a few years later, after his escape from slavery, God called Patrick to return to Ireland to preach the gospel to those who had mistreated and enslaved him. Imagine for just a moment how difficult that must have been. But Patrick looked to God for strength, for what he needed to obey. And you know what? Patrick's life of obedience was not easy. History tells us that he was rejected. He was falsely accused. He was put on trial. And he was imprisoned. But through his ministry, thousands upon thousands of Irish pagans left their pagan religion and converted to Christianity. And even more exciting than that, is that after Patrick's life, the Christians in Ireland who had come to faith through his ministry, through the ministry of those after him and those after them, through Patrick's ministry, missionaries were raised up in Ireland who set off boldly in little boats, trusting God to lead and direct their little boats to the place God wanted them to go. And they went out and they spread God's love and truth to everyone they met. They were fearless Celtic missionaries. But it was a result of Patrick's fearlessness that this missionary movement swept out from Ireland across the pagan tribes of Central Europe. Patrick's fearlessness as a truth speaker in this way transformed much of Europe. In recent months, we've learned about the destination toward which God is leading us as a church, and about building our life upon the rock so that we will no longer be infants who are tossed back and forth by the waves and blown this way and that way by every form of teaching. God calls us to be truth speakers who are radically transformed by truth, like tea transforming water, who live out the truth and who open our mouths and speak God's truth. Last time I spoke, we saw that God calls us to communicate God's truth as we stand within the boundaries of God's love. God's love is a boundary. It's a circle within which we are called to stand, to live, and to speak. I didn't point to you yet, slide man. Thank you. All right. Today, we will look again at what it means. Okay, so last time we learned that we are to reject manipulation and deceit. We are to speak plainly and act clearly, and we are to use manners that match our message. Today, we'll look again at what it means to speak the truth to non-believers, drawing upon Ephesians 6, 19 through 20. There, Paul teaches us that as we are covered in prayer, we should speak often, we are to speak words from God, and we are to speak without fear. Now, the first step in sharing God's truth and love with non-believers is prayer. All right. Notice that the first step is not to get a seminary degree. And it's not to read a stack of books so that we know everything. No, the first step is prayer. This reminds us that our efforts to share God's love and truth with others must always be empowered by God. It's not empowered by our own strength or effort. Without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit blessing and giving God's almighty power to what we are doing, we could have the best human ideas. We could have the most wonderful earthly plans. We could have the wisest human words, and they would be utterly powerless to transform hearts and open minds to the truth and love of God. And so, we need to call upon the one who gave his life for the people around us so that they can know him. 2 Peter 1:3 reminds us that Christ's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And this includes what we need as truth speakers to share God's truth and love with the world around us as we stand within the boundaries of love. We call upon God and we allow Him to empower our truth speaking in love. Practically, what does this mean? It means that we pray regularly for the non-believers in our lives, asking God to give us opportunities to share His power, His love with them. And we ask the Holy Spirit then to empower us, our words, as we speak to them about God. This entire process of sharing God's truth and God's love with the people around us must be absolutely covered and saturated with prayer. And we must also pray for our brothers and sisters to the right and left of you here today who are also looking for opportunities. And we must ask each other, hey, pray for me. I'm looking for this opportunity to talk to Jim or Alice or whoever it is in your life that you are reaching out to with the truth and love of God. Notice that in verse 19 of Ephesians 6, it opens with a request. Paul says, pray also for me. Paul needed prayer. Paul needed the prayers of the Ephesian believers to cover his ministry, his truth speaking, his service in the Lord. And in the same way as Paul needed prayer, pastors need the prayers of the people in the church to cover and saturate their ministries. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we as a body of Christ need each other to be praying for one another so that we may speak God's truth and God's love to the people around us with clarity and boldness within the boundaries of love. Next, Paul teaches us through his example that we are to speak often. In fact, he asks the Ephesians to pray that whenever he opens his mouth, he would be empowered to share the truth and love of God. You see, Paul understood that each one of us only have very limited number of opportunities in our lifetimes to speak God's truth and God's love to the people around us. Paul wanted to make sure that he didn't waste a single opportunity. 1 Peter 3:15, which I've mentioned in my last few sermons, tells us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. We need to always be ready to share God's truth and love. Recently, I was in the East Brunswick Starbucks. It was just a few weeks ago, and I was getting ready to go for one of our weekly youth prayer meetings. And as I was packing up my things, the young man next to me asked me about the photo of the Taj Mahal in India that I have as a wallpaper on my laptop computer. We then launched into a conversation in which I was able to share about my time of ministry in India and about how helping those in need is an expression of Christian faith. It's a way that we obey God. We do what Jesus did. We show God's love. He then told me that he was raised as a Hindu, but that his father recently converted to Christianity and now attends an evangelical church. He and his wife then began to share with me that though they are still Hindu, they have deep respect for and a sense of connection to Christianity. As our conversation drew to a close, I knew that God was in that unexpected meeting, that unexpected conversation, and that God is at work in the lives of this couple. And you know what? I'm praying for them, that God will give me more opportunities to speak with them, to share more with them about God's truth and God's love. We need to always be ready at any moment for these unexpected opportunities to share God's truth and God's love with the people that God brings into our lives. Next, Paul asks the Ephesians to pray that words may be given to him. From Paul's long letters and long sermons in Acts, one of which lasted an entire night, causing a young man to fall asleep, then fall out of a window, I would have never thought that Paul ever lacked things to say, right? But on his own, in and of himself, Paul had nothing to say. Sometimes one of you will ask me to pray for you because you have an upcoming presentation at school. And you typically ask me to pray for you that you will think of something to say. And I pray this for you when you ask me. But this is not what Paul is requesting here. He is not asking them to pray that he will think of something to say. No, he asks them to pray that words will be given to him. Who will give Paul these words? God will. God will. Paul knew that only words from God can pierce the human heart. Only words from God are worth sharing with the world around us. Jesus told his disciples that they would be persecuted and forced to testify because of their faith, and he gave them this promise: whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit through you. And in John 14:26, Jesus tells the disciples that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Truth speaking within the boundaries of love means that we cry out to God, asking him to give us his words for the people around us who desperately need to know him. When God does so, when he gives us his words for the people around us, and we then speak his words to the people around us, those words have a power and an authority that human words alone do not have. For in that moment, they are the words of God for the specific people, the specific situation in which we find ourselves. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Truth speakers who rely on God to give them words to speak, words that pierce hearts like a sword, then speak out words that reveal the truth of the situation, words that open hearts and minds to God's truth and God's love. Finally, Paul asks the Ephesians to pray that he'll speak without fear. Suddenly, the gap between Paul's life and our own lives feels very, very small. He was not that different from you and me. Paul struggled with fear. Now remember that when Paul writes this letter, he's in a prison, right, for preaching. He is currently suffering for his faith, and he's previously suffered so much for the gospel. And yet he asks them twice, emphasizing that this is an urgent, real request, revealing that fear is a very real temptation for him right now. I'm reminded of the moment in Acts 4, after God healed a crippled beggar through Peter, and after the religious leaders arrest Peter and John and warn them to stop speaking in the name of Jesus, we read that the believers gathered together and they prayed this prayer: "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. The same Greek word that is translated as boldness in this prayer by the believers in Acts is translated in Ephesians 6 in Paul's request as fearlessness. Prayers for fearlessness were clearly a common prayer in the early church, and they should be a common prayer for you and for me. In these passages, bold fearlessness carries the sense of openness or frankness. It has the sense of not dodging or deflecting a question. It has a sense of not shielding ourselves from embarrassment or criticism. Rather, it is the boldness and fearlessness that speaks with perfect freedom, without the smallest dread, standing within the boundaries of love, making known the truth and love of God. Did you notice that Paul does not ask the Ephesians to pray that the threats against his life would cease? And he doesn't ask the Ephesians to pray that the deadly dangers around him would disappear. No, instead he implores his friends to pray that he would be fearless in spite of the tremendous threats to his life, that he would be bold in the face of the deadly dangers around him. You see, to be a Christian, and I'm, slide man, please back up, thank you. You see, to be a Christian means that we sometimes stand before threats and dangers, but we stand with the courage and in the strength of God within the boundaries of love as we share the love and truth of God. I believe that God is looking for young men and young women today who are willing to stand up for him with bold fearlessness in a world that mocks and ridicules followers of Jesus Christ. The question is this: do we care more about what the people around us think of us than we care about becoming the truth speaker that God is calling us to be? In my teenage years, in my early 20s, one of the most common tests that God brought into my life hinged on this question. Would I stand up for God in the face of fear, in the face of threats, in the face of opposition? Or would I cower because I was so concerned about what the people around me thought of me? Whenever God brought such a test into my life, I knew that I did not have the strength on my own to do what he was asking me to do. And so I would cry out to him and ask him to fill me and empower me so that I would have the strength to obey him by taking the difficult stand that he was calling me to take. And when I cried out to him, God gave me the strength to be a truth speaker who obeyed him by doing things that I knew were impossible for me to do on my own. Today, God is calling more truth speakers who will allow God to give them strength and courage, bold fearlessness that will enable them to push through their own anxiety, to push through their own awkwardness or their own speechlessness, to share the truth and love of God with the people around them who desperately need to know. God is today calling out truth speakers who will stand up in their generation. How will you respond? Today I pray that each of us will will follow Paul's example by taking our stand as truth speakers within the boundaries of love, who are covered in prayer, who speak often, who speak words from God, and who speak without fear. Would you pray with me? Lord, today you call us to be truth speakers in a dark generation. You call us to stand up fearlessly in the face of threats and danger, and to speak your truth and your love. Lord, we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would so anoint us and fill us and empower us that we would obey you, and the people around us would have a chance to follow you. In your name we pray. Amen.